with everything we have. Amen. Hey, it is a great day. I hope everybody's having a great morning. This morning so far, I know we've got a lot of sicknesses going around, and so that's a bummer. But that means that those of you that are online, we know that normally you're here with us, but we love the fact that you can be online with us. Right now, we also have our kiddos going back to their amazing teachers. And parents, if you haven't yet this week, then I want to remind you, I want to encourage you to thank your kids' teachers because they are amazing. They read through the messages. They think through ways to teach in a way that the kids understand. And so, listen, I'll be honest. Your kids are probably learning more about the Lord than you are. So so just thank their teachers and the time that they put together. I also want a couple quick reminders. First of all, ladies, you guys have a shindig next week. You guys are having a ladies' Christmas party next Sunday. I think it's immediately after church, and that's a potluck meal, okay? You guys are going to actually eat food, so that means you have to bring the best of whatever you have and bring it to share with everybody else. I'm going to get a plate on my way out, so please bring your best, bring your A game to that one. And also, just a reminder again, I know Steve mentioned it earlier, but we've got the parade coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we want to encourage everybody to somehow be a part of that parade because it's another opportunity for us to be a blessing to the community around us. And so we're going to have a float. We always have, I assume we're going to have a float, right? It's up to the Rittmeyers. So that means we'll definitely have it. So we're going to have a float. We're going to have some cool stuff. We're going to have people singing songs like Christmas carols and things like that. And so we want to make sure that you are a part of that because it is an amazing, amazing, amazing time. And so we just want to encourage you to be a part of that. This past week was Thanksgiving, and I trust you all had some amazing meals. Did you guys get some amazing meals? All right, fantastic. At least we have one person that ate food this week. Originally, we were going to have Beth and her sisters and a whole big thing. Unfortunately, people got really sick. Again, there's just this sicknesses going around everywhere. So we had much less people join us, but that means we had the same amount of food, which meant that I get more food. And that's never a bad thing, right? But we had plenty of leftovers. We can go home today. We did have Beth's dad join us, so that was kind of a nice opportunity for us to hang out together. We had turkey and brisket, thanks to Marcus teaching me things. It was actually edible. So, you know, that's a huge good thing for us. But I did read this week as I was kind of thinking through things. I read a story, a little blurb that I want to share with you guys because I think you might actually relate to this story. I don't know. A little boy was asked by his father to say grace at the table. While the rest of the family waited, the little guy eyed every dish of food his mother had prepared. After the examination, he bowed his head and honestly prayed, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." And I don't know about you, but if I look down at a plate of Brussels sprouts that are put in front of me, that's absolutely how I feel. Lord, I don't like the look of it, but if it's in my plate, I guess I'll eat it. I guess that's what Beth gives me salad sometimes, and I love you. But she also feeds me sticks in those salads. She calls it leaves, but it's pretty much sticks. And so that's my prayer. I don't like the looks of it, but I'll eat it anyway, and thank you for giving it to me, Lord. All that said, I do hope that you guys were blessed, that you were able to experience gratitude in the Lord this week, and that you were able to have an opportunity with Thanksgiving where you just enjoyed each other's company, enjoyed family's company, enjoyed the Lord's company. And you know, the thing is, it's really easy to be thankful on Thanksgiving, isn't it? Like, that's the day that you're supposed to be thankful. So maybe you gather up all your Thanksgiving for the whole year, right? Fill in the blank. How can you possibly be thankful after having such loss, after having such a bad experience, right? For instance, I'm going to mention somebody, and I haven't talked to them So I'm not going to mention names, but I 100% know how they feel. There's a family who purchased a house last year. And after living in the house for just a few months, they realized that there was some pretty serious issues with their house, right? And after having these pretty serious issues with their house, they ended up having to completely gut their house. Like, nothing left of their house except for the outside walls, right? Like, that does not seem like a thing to be thankful for, right? Because they've got a mortgage, right? But they've also got to rebuild a house. That does not seem like an opportunity to say, praise the Lord, thank you for this. Yet, as I talk to this particular family, that's pretty much their attitude. Praise the Lord. We don't really understand it. We don't really want this to happen, but praise the Lord, because, you know, God's in control. So thank you, Lord. That's a crazy thing to be thankful for, right? And to a lot of people, it may feel like, or it may even say, this is some sort of punishment. Like, what horrible thing did you do in your life to have God do this to you, right? What sin is in your life that God is raining this down on you? This is some kind of seriously bad karma, right? Well, since giving thanks is not really natural in our flesh, in our self, it has to come from somewhere else, right? And if you're a believer, there's a couple of things that we know about being thankful. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about thankfulness, right? We just had a week of Thanksgiving. We talked for a month or so about how God owns everything and I own nothing. And next week, we're going to start looking at Christmas, and we're going to start rediscovering Christmas and rediscovering what Christmas is actually about. And so this week, we're just going to give some thanks. And so this week, I want to talk about when to give thanks. And it may not really seem like an easy question to you, or maybe you're here this morning joining us online, and you would say, this is an incredibly easy question. I don't know. Maybe this is a complicated thing. I know I talk to people all week long, various people, whether they're on the phone or in person. I'm constantly talking to people. And you may be joining us online. You may be here this morning, and maybe you would relate to this, because a lot of the people that I talk to throughout the week are experiencing some sort of trials, right? Like there's something happening in their life that is producing stress in their life, and that is producing conflict in their life, and they're not really sure necessarily how to deal with it day to day, right? Like I can get through a Sunday morning, and I can be excited, and I can praise the Lord, but then Monday happens, and work happens, and life happens, and all these things happen, and it starts to get a little bit harder. Maybe you would relate to that. Maybe not. Maybe you would sit here this morning, you're joining us online, and you say, Billy, I praise the Lord every single day for everything that always happens in my life. And if that's you, man, thank you for leading us in that way, right? Because it is hard sometimes to praise the Lord. It's hard sometimes when you're dealing with family trials, when you're dealing with financial strains, when you're dealing with relational issues, right? Sometimes it can be really hard to be thankful. Especially, and this is one that I think a lot of us have dealt with over this last year. We deal with the loss of a loved one, especially if it's unexpected. But even if it's expected, when you deal with the loss of a loved one, it can be hard in the moment, at the very least, to be thankful to the Lord. For instance, this is the first Thanksgiving that we had without an opportunity for me to connect with my dad. And that wasn't fun. But I can still praise the Lord, right? Like it wasn't easy. It was hard, but I can still praise the Lord. So we're dealing with these things, and we're dealing with these hardships, and we're dealing with these stresses. The question is, how can we praise the Lord if maybe I don't really feel like giving thanks to the Lord in this moment? Like, how can I get to the point to where I want to give thanks? I don't know if you guys have ever experienced anything like this, but Beth and I have had conversations in the past, and I can remember a couple of times in our lives where something would happen, and Beth would say something like, "Well, we just need to pray and you know, praise the Lord through this situation. Do you want to pray?" And I would look at her and I'd be like, "No, I don't. But you're welcome to, but I don't really feel like it right now, you know." So how do we get to a point where we do feel like it? Like, how do we get past some of these struggles? And listen, I'm just being honest about, you know, Thanksgiving and the struggles that I think we all deal with, right? Well, this morning we're gonna look at a passage together that hopefully will answer these questions, some of these questions that we have about when to give thanks. And it's a passage, you guys, I guarantee you guys have heard somebody preach on it like 5 million times, probably, but that's okay because God can still bring something new to us every single time we open his word, right? And so I want to encourage you, hopefully as we look through this passage, you will be encouraged. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online and you would say, "Pastor Billy, I've memorized this scripture like when I was 5 years old, I don't need any more of it." Let me encourage you that that's not true. We still need a lot of the scripture, a lot of the same scripture that maybe we've already memorized. We still need to be reminded about what it says, right? So the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning was written by Paul, right? Paul's the guy that wrote like half of the New Testament, okay? The same guy. And Paul wrote this letter, to a church in a place called Thessalonica. Weird name, I know, but Thessalonica was a Greek city with Gentile believers. Gentile meaning they were not Jewish. Okay, so they were people that had converted from their own belief system to Christianity. Okay, and so these believers had a lot of questions about their new faith. Right, they're brand new believers, and one of the things that Paul writes to this group is about the hope of Christ's return. You see, these believers evidently, well, they were watching the culture around them. And I don't know, maybe we can relate to this, but they were watching the culture around them, and they were watching the culture just get worse and worse and worse. And it seemed like every day more horrible things were happening. I don't know if we can experience that same kind of emotion when we look at the culture around us today, right? When we see the transgender, when we see the everything that's going on, like there is a level of understanding of what these people are going through, right? And so they're looking at the culture and they're watching this as believers. And Paul is encouraging these new believers to help each other, and to rely on the Lord together. To love each other, even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of potential persecution, of being laughed at, of the culture being so evil all around you, even in the midst of that, Paul's encouraging them to love each other, and in the midst of all of the evil around them, to reject that evil. Okay, that's what Paul is encouraging the people in Thessalonica to do. Paul tells them actually to rejoice and be thankful no matter what they experience. Rejoice and be thankful no matter what they experience. Because this group of believers were eager to see Jesus. Let me ask you a question real quick. When's the last time you thought about the opportunity you have to see Jesus one day? Like, when's the last time you just let that sink in and you released the evil of everything happening all around us, of the culture, and you just rested in the fact that I'm going to be with Jesus, like this isn't the end of the story. Because as a group of believers, that's what these people were doing. They were eager to see Jesus, and they were so eager to see Jesus, though, that they would look around at their culture, at the evil of the culture that they lived in, and then they would begin to get a little bit ungrateful for what God had given them. A little bit bitter about having to live in the culture the way that they're living in this particular culture. So turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians this 1 Thessalonians, meaning the first letter that we have that Paul wrote to this place called Thessalonica, to the churches in this place called Thessalonica. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're just going to read one sentence of this verse, and we're going to understand what Paul is saying here in this one sentence. But this one sentence is three verses, starting in verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. All right, so what does it mean? This one sentence, this is just one sentence in the letter. I just gave you kind of the context. Feel free to read the whole letter, but I just gave you kind of the context of what Paul's talking about. But in this one sentence, we can see something pretty amazing. We can, I think, hopefully be encouraged as believers the same way that Paul was encouraging the believers in Thessalonica, right? And we can begin to get ourselves in a place from, man, life is hard, this really stinks, to rejoice always. Like that's our end goal, right? So as we look at this sentence, these three verses, there's actually three parts, and I've highlighted them up there. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And we're going to look at each part individually. So first of all, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pretty straightforward, I think. It's a pretty straightforward command, like just rejoice always. Now, the word rejoice here means to have joy. To have joy. So in this context, this means to acknowledge that everything that God has done in the midst of your situation. Listen, I don't know if you're dealing with, again, financial, marital, family, job, whatever the situation is, acknowledge all that God has done in the midst of your current situation. It is a type of thanksgiving that we offer back to God. Thank you, Lord, for even though things are tight right now financially, gas prices are high, you know, the Dr. Pepper is expensive. Even though this is going on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you've given me a roof over my head. Because I do have food in the refrigerator, right? Thank you, Lord, for giving me a spiritual family that encourages me and encourages each other. Give joy, have joy in all of the amazing things that God has done in the midst of your current situation, even though you may not love your current situation, whatever that situation may be. So how can we rejoice? Like, that's hard. I know I just said it, but that's still hard to think about rejoicing, especially when we're in a trial. But that's because we're focused on us and not focused on God, right? Like, when I'm so focused on my financial struggles, my housing struggles, my health struggles, that I completely ignore God, well, that's why I can't have joy. Because I'm not focused on the Lord. I'm focused on myself. And I will, let me just say, and you will, 100% of the time, not allow yourself to have joy in any situation, 100% of the time, because you will 100% of the time fail. When we look at ourselves, we can't have the joy of the Lord. And so how do we rejoice? How do we have joy? Well, the thing is, we have to know that what God is yesterday, God is today, right? Like, God does not change. We've talked about that before. God does not change. And that means that the God that is just in the Old Testament is the same God that is just in the New Testament. And that's the same God that is just today. See, God does not change, which means that everything I know to be true about God throughout all of Scriptures, well, then I can rely on those exact same promises in my life today. So how can I have joy in the midst of hardships? Well, I can focus on what is true about God, about who Christ is. And then I begin to have joy. I begin to reflect and rejoice in the Lord who saved my soul, even though I may have a hardship for a little while, even though things may be stressful for a couple of months or a couple of weeks or a couple of years or whatever the case may be. Even if I'm experiencing something that I perceive as bad, I can still have joy because I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on the Lord. That's just the first step, though, right? Because I'm focused on the Lord, but stuff is still coming at me, right? So what do I do? Well, the next thing that Paul tells us is to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. It's a pretty straightforward command here, right? And even though this is pretty straightforward, it's also very misunderstood. Right? It really is. It's often misunderstood because pray without ceasing doesn't mean that your mind and your mouth are continually praying every second of every day. That's not what that means. Right? To pray without ceasing, Paul's not going to tell us to do something that's impossible, right? Because if I'm having a conversation with someone, how can I also be praying to the Lord if I'm talking to someone else, right? So Paul's not going to tell us to do something that's impossible. So then we have to say, okay, what is possible? What can I be doing? What does pray always, pray without ceasing, what can that mean? Well, I love the way that pastor and author Warren Wiersbe says this. He says that pray without ceasing does not mean we must always be mumbling prayers. The word means constantly recurring, not constantly occurring. So what we have here is an open-ended conversation. And I've talked about this before. But what we have is an open-ended conversation. We have an ongoing conversation, a conversation that you don't stop ever. Right? Those of you that use Google for your emails, you'll know that that when you email somebody and then they respond, like you have a constant thread of that same email, right? And Hotmail isn't that smart yet. So if you use Hotmail or Yahoo or, I'm sorry about your luck. But in Google, it keeps it all together. It's really handy. It's really helpful. You could also think of a text message, right? When you're texting somebody, you're always, like that conversation, you may have a conversation that's like months long with somebody because you text them here and there, but you have the same conversation happening, right? That's what it means to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing actually means, I don't have it in there, it actually means to have a heart of prayer. To pray without ceasing means to have a heart of prayer. In other words, you don't hang up the phone on a conversation with God. You don't say goodbye, I'll talk to you later. You keep the conversation open. You talk to God. God, I'm driving to work right now, and Lord, my boss is just really getting on my nerves lately. God, I'm struggling because I want to do this to serve you, but somehow my boss keeps doing this, and my family is there's just a lot of stress in this situation, and Lord, I just need your help. And then you're working, right? Like you're doing your job, whatever that may be. You're doing your thing. And then later in the day, thank you, Lord, for getting me through today. I'm struggling still, but I see your glory and I see your grace throughout everything that's going on. And Lord, even though I'm not having a great time at work right now, thank you so much for just giving me a job. And then you don't say goodbye. You don't say amen. You just keep the conversation going. And the thing is that sometimes, well, listen, prayer is a two-way street, right? It's a two-way conversation. And if you're always talking, then you're never listening, right? Sometimes, if I want to hear what God has to say, I have to just shut up and listen. But if I hang up the phone, then I'm not listening anymore, am I? If I keep the line open, if I keep the prayer moving throughout the day, the week, the month, the years, well, then I'm always listening for what God may say, may be telling me. Just don't hang up the phone. The next thing that we see here, we rejoice always. We pray without ceasing. So I find joy in the Lord in any situation. I never stop praying. I never close the conversation with God. And finally, I give thanks in all circumstances. I give thanks in all circumstances. And here is where it starts to get a little bit harder, I think. Because if you're giving thanks in all circumstances, then that means you have to give thanks in the times that you don't want to give thanks in, right? You have to actually say, Lord, thank you for busting my ankle, right? Lord, thank you for breaking my car. I don't know why you did it, but Lord, thank you for allowing my car to break down. I don't feel thankful always, but the thing is, we don't want to give thanks. Like I said, we don't want to give thanks because we're focused on ourselves. But if I can find the joy of the Lord in any situation, and I can keep the conversation with God open, not hanging up the phone, well, then I can actually stop focusing on me and start focusing on the Lord, which means I can give thanks in any situation. Listen. Pride is the thing that stops us from doing everything and anything that God wants us to do. William Grunau says this, thanksgiving is an act of self-denial. In other words, thanksgiving is an act of kicking your pride to the curb and focusing on God and not yourself. Thanksgiving is an act of self-denial. Because when I'm focused on myself, then it's difficult for me to give thanks in the hard times, right? But when I'm focused on the Lord, then these hard times seem significantly easier. They seem significantly less important. When I can take the moment to realize that the hard situation I'm going through right now, and maybe it's been 10 years of a hard situation, I don't know what you're going through specifically, but the hard situation that I'm going through right now, even though it feels like a lot in this moment, when I put it up next to an eternity with the Lord, it's significantly less important. That hard stuff, that stress, that anger becomes momentary. And maybe it's even a moment that God is using to grow you into the Christian, into the person, into the man, into the woman, into the father, into the mother, into the son, into the daughter, into the whatever that God wants you to be, that God has designed you to be. And then I can begin to see that my suffering, well, maybe my suffering is worth the cost because I'm becoming who God wants me to be. The deal is I can have that big picture, eternal perspective. Then, and only then, can I start to give thanks in everything. Because only then can I start to see God in every aspect of my life. You see, when our perspective is informed by His Word, when our perspective is informed by the truth of Scripture, then everything begins to change and giving thanks becomes significantly easier. I know we don't always want to give thanks. And in those times when we don't want to give thanks, well, we need to take the focus off of ourselves and what I'm going through, what I'm feeling. And I need to put my focus back onto the Lord and what the Lord is leading. And what God's sovereignty is allowing in the midst of my life. And it becomes increasingly easier to give thanks in all situations. Listen, this morning, I had a bit of a special treat for us this morning. I had something planned that was going to be great because we have someone within our fellowship that has been through a lot in their life. I mean, a lot of stuff. However, ever since I've known this person, and granted, it's just been a little over 3 years, but ever since I've known this person, every time I talk to them, they share about things that God has been doing in their lives. It's amazing. I've never seen anyone so focused on the bad things that are happening or that have happened, but that God was in control in the midst of all of these horrible things that have happened in their life. This person is a person that constantly is praising the Lord for everything that they've experienced. I plan to invite Jim and Cheryl up to share a little bit, but Jim is sick. And I can almost guarantee he's at home in bed right now praising the Lord that he was sick so that he didn't have to sit in front of everybody. But what's amazing is that God has moved in Jim over this last year. Listen, I think it was last week we heard that Jim had walked like 45 feet without a walker. Like, that's huge for someone that went through a stroke last December. That's amazing. And so Jim has experienced this physical restoration. He's not 100% yet, but Lord's still working, right? And he's experienced some healing. But that isn't all. Because Jim has shared with me over and over and over again how blessed he is by God. How blessed. He's in the middle of war, and he's talked about how blessed he was even in that. He's been through challenging times, difficult times. Jim came to faith later in life, but after he came to faith, he was able to look back at all of the times that God was clearly working in his life in the previously. He was able to focus on God's provision in his life as he went through various struggles. It's amazing to hear that from somebody that has been through some things that are very, very difficult, right? It's encouraging to know that God is still good, even in the middle of some hardship, right? That God is still good. It's encouraging to know that God is still in control, even in the midst of the hard times in life. And honestly, it's a little bit freeing. If you allow it, it's a little bit freeing to be able to rely on the promises of God instead of the failings of ourselves. It's amazing to be able to actually give thanks in any situation. Listen, if you're here today, if you're joining us online, and you're a bit unsure about how anyone can give thanks after having a stroke, after having a wife who had major surgery. When I came here 3.5 years ago, my first Sunday, I came down to like interview with everybody and to talk to everybody. And that weekend, I never got to meet Cheryl because she was up in Mayo having like major surgery. But if someone can sit in the midst of preparing for a surgery and say, God's in control, don't worry about it. Well, that's someone that can help us understand what it means to have faith and trust in God in the midst of hard and potentially scary situations, right? So if you're here, if you're joining us online and you would say, I don't understand that. Like I hear what you're saying, Pastor Billy, but it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't fit. I can't make it work in my life. Then I want to encourage you to reach out and let's have a conversation. Listen, we do biblical counseling here at LRBC. Beth does and I do. And our focus, as we do biblical counseling, our focus is 100%. What does Scripture say? What is true about God? Not what is true about your situation. Not what is my husband said, my wife said, my kids are doing. None of that. It's 100%. What does Scripture say to you. What is your focus? Where is your focus? But if you're here this morning and you're saying, Billy, I don't understand how to have thankfulness, how to be thankful. Like, I hear what you're saying, but it just doesn't connect. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. Then let me encourage you to reach out and let's have a conversation. Because listen, there is nothing more freeing than resting in the truth of the Lord. And I've been through some junk in my life, and we can talk about that another time, but there is nothing more relaxing, more encouraging than resting in the truth of God's word. And I don't care what you're experiencing. I'm 100% confident that the scripture that God gave to us, that his words address exactly what you're going through. 100%. I guarantee it, or your money back, which is free, by the way. So there's no money involved. So for this morning, though, let me just pray for all of us here this morning as we focus on the Lord and take the focus away from ourselves. Father God, thank you. God, you are good to us. And Lord, there are times in our lives that we genuinely don't understand how to be thankful. God, in those times, I just ask that you would remind us of your goodness, of your grace. Lord, in those times when we're struggling, whether it's personally, professionally, familially, family, whatever it is, Lord, I just ask that you would encourage us in your truth. Encourage us to focus on your word and not ourselves, Lord. Remind us to take the focus away from ourselves and put it on you. God, we thank you. We thank you for the time that you've given us here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.